It is a real joy to be sharing with you at Young Adults. Every couple of years, I'm allowed by the Lord to be with you, and each time it has been a joy. This has been a wonderful experience. The exercise for this morning is to look at the last altar of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. The first altar in Genesis 12 was an altar of appreciation. The second one was an altar of decision. And the third one was an altar of realization, reality. This altar today, I would like to call it an altar of devotion and delight. The altar of devotion and delight. We're going to read very quickly verses 1 to 14. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt or try Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up upon a burnt offering, offered it up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I read the last part of verse 12. Thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. This morning we want to enjoy the gain of giving all. The gain of giving all. And this passage really can be seen in three ways. First and foremost, the exercises in the heart of God the Father and God the Son. Secondly, historically, the exercises in Abraham and Isaac, his son. But thirdly, by way of application, the exercises in our hearts, in God's hearts, as to what God would ask of us. I want to hasten through this, initially looking at the exercises in God's heart, God the Father's heart and God the Son, as well at the same time seeking to see the responses between Abraham and Isaac. And then in conclusion, trust the Spirit of God to make application to my heart and to your heart concerning the gain of giving all. There's so many things in this passage that are teachable. And I will just raise some of them along the way, but leave you to do the homework, and you must forgive me. Because we cannot touch and develop everything. But first of all, it begins in this chapter, it came to pass after these things. This is the second time in Abraham's life you read this expression. And you can look for the other one. And so Abraham's life is distinctly divided into three parts. This is the final part of Abraham's life. The first part emphasizes the pathway of faith. But this last part, you will find practically in every chapter, the exercises of love. I'll leave you to deal with the middle part. God would test or try Abraham. Abraham is a picture of God the Father. And Isaac is a picture of God the Son. And in this expression of tempting or trying Abraham, we really see reflected the exercises in the heart of God the Father. God the Father in the eternity past was exercised in relation to the thoughts we're going to develop this morning. Verse 2. God would say to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. First of all, I want to dwell on the name Isaac. The name Isaac means, anybody knows? Laughter. Sarah says everybody who hears is going to laugh, will celebrate. There is delight in this moment. But Abraham, who looked not at his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet at the deadness in Sarah's womb, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, staggered not in unbelief. Would a man believe that the one who had promised was able also to perform it? Beloved, Isaac means laughter. And when Isaac was born, there was celebration. And this Isaac tells us of delight. The delight that God the Father had in his son in eternity past. And in Abraham and Isaac, we see how Abraham, up to now, would have had in that family such a joy to see that in his old age, Isaac. And you would look back again and again at the years of barrenness, the years when even he himself had come to the point where there was the deadness even in his body, not only in Sarah's womb. Two dead people, so to speak, in so far as fertility was concerned. But God performed the resurrection of fertility in Abraham's life and Sarah's life. And there was a child born to them. It was time to celebrate. What a joy Isaac was to them. As I say, it's a small picture of the delight God the Father would have had eternally, for in the sonship of Father, in the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus, has no beginning, has no end. The delight therefore between Father and Son has always been eternal, has always been in its extreme. How can we ever begin to dream of the delight between Father and Son? But also, it says, whom thou lovest. Not only does Isaac mean the laughter and tells us of the delight, but there was the love. There was a devotion between Abraham and his son. No wonder when the Lord Jesus came on the scene, God the Father's heart could not be held back. He says, as he looked upon him, coming out of the waters of baptism on the banks of Jordan, "This is my beloved son." The beloved son tells of the devotion in his heart. "In whom I am well pleased," tells of the delight in his heart. Devotion and delight. But then he says, "Get thee into the land of Moriah." The place that God provided. The place later on that the ark, that the temple would be built on. The place of sacrifice. The place of the house of God. And offer him there for a burnt offering. And I want to pause again, because in every, almost in every verse or every other verse of this passage or every other phrase, you find these two thoughts, the delight and the devotion. He says, "Go and offer him for a burnt offering." And in the offering, we see Abraham was asked to exercise the fullness of devotion to God. He was asked to be exercised as to all his heart's devotion and honor and commitment to God. You go and offer him. You bring a presentation. But then he says, it's not going to be an ordinary presentation. I want it for a burnt offering. Don't just bring Isaac. But I want you to offer him for a burnt offering. In the burnt offering is a sweet savor offering. Tells of delight. God was asking Abraham to move in devotion to himself, and in that act bring delight to God as well. And it's a picture, beloved, of how the Lord Jesus would have come into the scene with all the devotion in his heart and all the delight that he wanted to give to his Father and God. And how he would even say to his disciples, "That the world may know that I love the Father." That is the devotion. "And that the Father has given me commandment, even so do I." The Lord Jesus wanted to please his Father and God perfectly. And we see how Abraham is very ready and willing to respond in submission, in obedience. God was so big to Abraham. God meant so much to Abraham that though Isaac, the one in whom he delighted, the one to whom he was devoted, he saw God as being worthy of so much more. "Oh, that God would bring me to the place where I see him as being worthy of everything." Abraham rises up early in the morning and saddles his ass and took two of his young men with him. Isaac, his son, cleaves the wood for the burnt offering. And you would recognize that each time the wood is mentioned, or each time the sacrifice is mentioned, these words are added, as we had earlier, "Offer him there for a burnt offering." It's not just the presentation, but the delight. Clave the wood for the burnt offering. And I want to say that in this, we are carried back to the eternal counsels of God, the plan of God. But we are also brought into time when God would use various prophets and various means as a service to present in picture form the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on the third day, we have completed the testimony of prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the cleaving of the wood for the burnt offering tells of the design, tells of the mind of God, the purposes of God, the plans of God, that there would be humanity destined for the cross. The wood tells of humanity that would be destined for the cross, but for the delight of God the Father. Verse 4, Abraham sees the place afar off on the third day. And he says to his young men, abide ye here with us. Because the Old Testament types and shadows had to come to an end. The reality must step in. The Son must step out of heaven upon earth. And he says, I and the lad. What a moment in time. The fullness of time was come. God was sent for us, for his Son. There we read in John 1, the Word becoming flesh. This is the moment, beloved. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. It is so amazing that each time it says what it is for. It is humanity destined for the cross to be the delight of the Father. He took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. The laying of the wood upon Isaac his son tells of the Lord Jesus taking on that humanity in time. Laid upon Isaac his son. But he also took the fire in his hand. Judgment, complete judgment, complete assessment of the devotedness of the Lord Jesus would, in picture form, would be there. The fire in his hand and the knife, the ultimate sacrifice would be made. And they went both of them together. It is remarkable that you read that here. They went both of them together. At the end of verse 8, you read that as well. So they went, both of them together. And it is amazing that in the Gospel of John, again I leave you homework, twice over it is said that the Father and the Son are not alone. That the Son is not alone, but the Father was with him. Twice over. But we have the challenge in Isaac's heart. Isaac spake unto Abram his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? And again, Isaac has been following the language of Abraham, the language of God, and he adds on, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham throws the whole situation back on God. He says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. In picture form, Isaac was answering to the language of John the Baptist on the banks of Jordan. Behold, the Lamb of God. Verse 29, it is that take away the sin of the world. What a lamb it was. Jesus, God's Lamb. Then it says, they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, Moriah. And Abraham built an altar there. Beloved, let's think of Abraham in his humanity now. Here is his son of laughter, delight. Here is his son whom he loved. Genuine devoted love. And Abraham is seen here building an altar. And secondly, he lays the wood in order. And thirdly, he ties or binds Isaac, his son. Think of Abraham as he's going through these steps of preparation, purpose of heart, the building of that altar, the laying the wood in order, the tying up of Isaac. Now think of the heart of Isaac as he watches his father building an altar, putting wood on top of it. And to think of Isaac submitting to those cords to be bound. I want to say that in that moment, Abraham would have seen something wonderful in his son. He would have seen added devotion. It would have added delight as well to Abraham's heart to see he could have a son that without struggle and strife and further questioning and confusion, submitting and yielding to such a moment to see the altar, to see the wood, and to allow himself to be tied. But finally it says in verse 9, and he laid him, that is Isaac, on the altar upon the wood. Here now it is humanity which was destined for the cross, placed on the cross. In verse 6, the wood was laid on Isaac. There, Isaac, picture of Christ, is seen taking on humanity. But now in verse 10, that humanity is placed on the cross. Beloved, let's think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Commanded by God, this commandment have I received of my Father. For he had earlier said, no man take up my life from me. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And again in Philippians 2, he humbled himself and became obedient as far as death, even to the death of the cross. God the Father had asked of him, come, go down, go all the way to Calvary, lay down your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in full devotion to his Father and God, willing to bring added delight, because that's how John 10 goes, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man can take it from me. And he concludes by saying this commandment. What a commandment. To have been asked to come and lay down the most precious gift, the most precious possession rather, his very life. The Lord Jesus was willing to go all the way. Isaac, amazing son. Either in his late teens or early 20s. Submitting to Abraham. And then, verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand. And takes the knife to slay his son. Beloved. Two verses. Book of Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? God before us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He that spared not his own son. God did not hold back anything in relation to us. Think of the heart of God. Think of our nothingness, our unworthiness. And God looking at us, seeing the need, knowing the cost, counting the cost, and would not spare His own Son. This indeed is an altar of devotion and delight. Could I ever be worthy of God bringing His Son into the world, sending Him to Calvary, and asking Him to lay down His life? Brought to the dust of death to experience so much at the hand of God. Think of the agony of the Lord Jesus. But we think of the delight that His Father and God caught from that moment. What a son! What a son! What delight! And what a son with such devotion that though it meant his utmost, would be prepared to go all the way and do it as well. The Lord Jesus was not spared. We know Abraham was. We know Isaac was, rather. But there was no sparing of the Lord Jesus. Think of the heart of God the Father as He saw the one of supreme delight there at that moment, laying down His life, head bowed. God gave up all. Nothing more can ever be asked of God. Can any of us really feel that we could have asked God for anything more? Nothing more could be asked of God than to give His Son, even in death. And nothing more could be asked of the Lord Jesus Christ as He, in wonderful devotion and obedience to the delight, true burnt offering, to the delight of His Father and God, would lay down His life, would go in full obedience right to the end. And there on the cross, suddenly, breathe out His last, head bowed, no longer breath in His nostrils, no longer the blood circulating, soon to be pierced and that blood flow out. And then to be laid in a tomb, lifeless, with no vision, no voice, no hearing, nothing at all. 3 days. What a son. The Lord of life to death made subject. Bless her yet, a curse wants me. And this morning the question is, are we prepared to respond in answer to such a God who spared not His Son, who nothing more can be asked of? How are we going to answer to the Lord Jesus' response? Nothing more can be asked of Him. What is God asking of us this morning? Are we willing to give all? Are we willing to yield? Are we willing to respond in devotion to Him and for His delight? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, just wanted to bring one little perspective on Abraham's exercise. Hebrews 11 verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And he was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham knew that if God asked him to give all, And God had said that this same son would have been the means of the line of promise. He knew that if he had to put Isaac to death, that God would have to raise Isaac up again and cause Isaac to be the means of the line of faith continued. Abraham had confidence in God to raise up his son. Abraham had had confidence first in the resurrection of his own fertility and the fertility of Sarah. But now he's having confidence in God that even the one who was produced by that miracle of resurrection of fertility, that one would have been raised, that there might be a posterity in line, in continuance. Abraham was a real man of faith. And beloved, this exercise of faith is to encourage us that if God is asking us to give of our utmost in devotion to Him and for His delight, that we build and see this altar as being our very own. And I want to conclude by a few words in Romans chapter 12. Because this is the application to us. Where are we in relation to our devotion, in relation to our willingness to delight our Father in God, and to answer to this wonderful altar of Abraham? It has been said, you know, Lot was never tried by God like this. But Abraham was. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the compassions or mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beloved, just like Abraham, as he heard the voice of God, lay not thy hand upon the son, Isaac was spared. Just as Abraham looked behind and saw the ram caught in the thicket by his horns, so that the ram would have been without blemish or without spot. Just as Abraham was told again the wonderful promises, and he would cry, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, the one who is seen providing on Moriah twice over. Jehovah Jireh has in essence an interpretation of God's providing, the Lord providing. Moriah also means providing. And in both cases, this is a testimony that God will provide if only we are willing to go all the way in this sacrifice and in this altar of devotion and delight. Before I develop Romans 12, just briefly, I remember over the years that Brother Brian has been in St. Kitts. He shared with me a strategy that they use in St. Kitts to get rid of monkeys, to catch monkeys. We don't have as many monkeys in Barbados, but we do have some, and perhaps we need to import their strategy. He says that in St. Kitts, where when you first went there, I don't know if it's still the same, he said there were more monkeys than men in St. Kitts.
Still the same.
He said they built cages in which they want to catch the monkeys. And they would put some food in the cage and design the cage with a very small hole, a hole small enough that the monkey can put his hand in and grab the food. But if the monkey grabs the food, they have designed the hole in such a way that the monkey's hand with the food cannot get back up. So he can get it in without the food, grab the food, but when he tries to pull it out, the hole is too small for the hand with the food to come out. Now they see the monkey struggling, he wants the food, they just come and put a either put a bag over him or close the cage or whatever, and the monkey is captured. The monkey does not give up, and he loses everything, even his life. But if the monkey could have common sense, but unfortunately he's a monkey. If he had common sense, he would know that if he gives all, or if he gives what he had in his hands, he will gain all. Beloved, let us not be afraid of giving to gain. Let us not be afraid of giving to gain. And that's why Romans 12 is so important. Because as the apostle had developed how man and all of us were so wretched and so condemned and deserving of eternal damnation. And God would step in and spare not his own son, as in chapter 8. And God, who commends his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God, who would say to us that the record of faith was not written for Abraham only, but unto us who would believe that God would raise Jesus from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Then the apostle continues, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Beloved, that's what we come into because the Lord Jesus gave his utmost that there might be ultimate gain. And he says, "Now look, I want to beg you in relation to those compassions and mercies that God had upon you. I want you now to be filled with such devotion to this God that you want to delight this God and build an altar like Abraham. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies, the compassions of God, that you present, offer your bodies a living sacrifice." In that presentation, make sure it is in full devotion to your God. Oh God, this is this body that has been used by the devil, used by me, used by sin. This body that should really be condemned to hell. And me there with all of my responsibilities. I want to give it back to you. In all devotion, that's what it says. Holy. In the best way I know how. Acceptable unto you. I want to please you in devotion and delight. Oh God, how can I give my body to make you happy? You are so worthy. I am not worthy of any existence anymore. My sins, I stand condemned. I stand without rights. All my rights have been gone through sin. But I want to give all that I am to you. I want to do it in devotion, and I want to do it for your delight. God, I want to make you happy. I want to be like an Isaac, to be one you look down with pleasure on, something to thrill your heart, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, be not conformed to the world. Never lose your distinctiveness. Never forget that God, in saving you, has made you exceptional. That nothing will ever separate you from himself. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We have come to the sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loveth us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, nor things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Beloved, God loves us. He is devoted to us, and He wants now to delight in us, but we have to bring our bodies here. God, have it. Be happy with me. Be happy in me. Let's rejoice together. You delighted in me, and I delighted in you. You have given in devotion Christ for me. I want to give in devotion myself to you. You are worthy. God is worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our confidence. He's worthy, too, of our love. And worthy of our devotion. Worthy of our bodies. That's why God told Abraham, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. God grant that none of us will be holding back from God this morning. Let's examine ourselves. Have we been holding back from God? But let us not think that though there is a one-time initial presentation that is going to be the static. Verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day, every hour. Come back to this point where you say, oh God, thank you for making me special. And oh God, I want you to know assured that I'm still yours. Always yours. I want to make you happy, God. Because some glorious day, the language of Jude is going to come true. Now on to Him that is able to keep us from stumbling and falling, and to present us faultless. What a delight that's going to be. He is waiting for the moment of supreme delight. But in the meantime, let's delight His heart, because He's going to finish the work. Present us to Himself with exceeding joy. What delight. God is going to be happy. God is going to be happy someday when He look at you. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power. Beloved, look, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. May God help us, that every one of us who have this hope in Him, purify ourselves, even as He is pure. Let's freshen up our minds and say to God, oh God, I want to make You happy today. I am truly devoted to You. You are all, my all and in all. I'm not holding out anything on You, God. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give. May this be the expressions of our hearts as we build this final altar of devotion and delight for the glory and the delight of God the Father and God the Son, for His name's sake.
Amen.